Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Man, I was about to come out of my skin during worship. I don't know about you guys. Goodness. Wow. Yeah, man. It just felt like I didn't have skin. You know, your spirit just was like rising up out of, I don't know, were you guys feeling that? It's like, feeling transported, you know, in that touching heaven. It's like your spirit man is, you know, we're also living there. It says we're seated at the right hand, right? We're seated with him in heavenly places. Yes. Ephesians 2, we're seated with the Father in heavenly places because of Jesus. So we're at his right hand. And you could feel your spirit just saying, oh, yeah, I'm in heaven right now. And as we're worshiping the King, I love to worship. That's better than any, man, concert, football game, anything I've ever been to was this morning, honestly, in my, by far. It's not even close. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. All right, man, one of my heroes, I want to talk about him first off. You ever heard of Polycarp? Polycarp is one of my heroes. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. Okay, so you got Jesus discipling John. John is an apostle. And John, as he's getting older, disciples this young man named Polycarp. Polycarp, in the year 155, which was also the year that he died, he was a bishop, a leader. This was before all of the, you know, the fancy attire and the weird hats and all that stuff. This is, we're talking about like just a couple steps away from Jesus. He was leading the church in Smyrna, or Smyrna, however you say it, and the Roman Empire was crushing Christianity, as they did for a long time. Persecution was rampant. Polycarp is running from place to place. People are hiding him, and at one point, he was tired of running. And someone gave up his location, and here come the soldiers, and his guy who was helping him, his disciple said, let me, I can get you out of here right now. And he said, no, let him come. So the soldiers came, and they asked him who he was. He told them, and he asked his disciple to give them something to drink, the arresting soldiers. So he served them. They took him away. They took him to the arena, and they said, at that time, Roman Empire really felt that the emperor was Lord, as well as the Roman gods. You got three main Roman gods, and there are about nine other ones. And so people had to bow, confess that the emperor was Lord. And they gave him an opportunity. They said, Polycarp, you've got this crazy, fanatical, Christian thinking. We're going to give you an opportunity right now to not only recant, but to declare that the emperor is Lord. Polycarp said this. He said, 86 years, that's how old he was, I have served my Lord, my King Jesus, and he's done me no harm. Why would I blaspheme his name right now? He said, basically, do what you will. He said, do what you will with my life. And they took him. They were so furious. Tied him to a stake, built the wood around him, and lit it on fire. And then this little breeze came in, like from the top, and blew the fire away from him. So he was there not getting burned. So they were frustrated. A soldier took his sword and ran him through. Killed for not worshiping what they told him to worship. And for worshiping Jesus as King. Amazing. That's part of our heritage in one sense. We have so many saints of old who were persecuted, who are being persecuted today still, and who just love Jesus and would not ever deny him. And I'm so thankful for the time that we live in right now where we are not persecuted to that extent by a long shot. But I want to have the type of faith and absolute heart set on Jesus that would not deny him ever. I want that same kind of Polycarp heart, right? That we would be so committed, as 2 Corinthians 3 says, so simply devoted to him The simplicity of devotion to Jesus, that we would have that so much in us that the world would not affect our heart either in any way, not just externally, but internally, that I'm so devoted and founded in him and on him. It's so absolutely essential that you and I are vitally connected to the person Jesus right now. Because as things happen now will sustain us in future crises, regardless of what that crisis may look like. It may not look like what Polycarp went through, but there are a lot of crises that we all go through in life. Our foundation in him and our connection with Jesus is, it's got to be above everything else. That nothing will sway me, not any bad news, not any bad report, not anything will shake this faith that I have and this relationship more than anything that I have in Jesus. We have a society and a culture where the enemy is saying, I'm sick and tired of this freedom in America. We need to crush that, right? And making demonizing Christians. Christians are what are demonized right now. I just read a great article. I'll post it on my Facebook page, probably today or tomorrow, written by a rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi. And he is saying, we need to wake up as a nation because the new enemy in America are the Christians. He said, please, this is getting exchanged from used to be the Jews being the enemy, and now it's the Christians. There are more books coming out right now, I mean, by the month, on the evils of Christianity and those basically who have morality. Those, they wouldn't say it that way, but those who hold to principles of morality, they're the evil ones. So, you know what? That's okay. This is the enemy's plan, but he can't win. At the same time, you and I, which is what that some of that means for you and I, is what do you believe? What do you hold to? Who's the foundation that you're on? What's the foundation that you're on? And what's your daily life like? Because, man, throughout history, when winds of adversity have come, it's the testing of the real character of a person. In your personal life, as a nation, as the body of Christ, and we're going to get tested. I had a dream a few years ago, and in the dream, it was so vivid. I was standing outside. It was like on the seashore next to a huge lake, and I saw a dark, dark storm cloud coming, and it was coming fast. It was like hurricane level looking, ominous, very scary storm, and it was coming. And I knew, you know how you know things in dreams? I knew in a moment I had little time to do what I needed to do. And I knew what I was supposed to do. There was a house, a big house, two-level house next to me. And I knew my job before that storm gets here is to get everybody from the top floor to the basement, to the foundation. So I ran in the house, opened the doors. All the blinds were shut. Everyone was asleep. And I started yelling, wake up! Wake up! In fact, it's part of the reason why we named our church Awake, was this dream, was a part of this, honestly, along with Ephesians 5. I started yelling awake, started shaking people. Wake up, we've got to get down onto the foundation. We've got to get on solid ground because the storm's coming. We'll be okay as long as you're on solid ground. And the dream was over. But the Lord often reminds me of that dream. Because I feel as though it's a part of what I'm supposed to do and as a church that we're supposed to do, and maybe in a larger sense, to whatever degree the Lord gives us influence or opportunity, is that we need to have this foundation and be standing on it and be set on it so that we can be the Polycarps of whatever storm is coming and go, however old I am, for me, 50 years, I've served my king, he's done me no harm, there's no way I would blaspheme his name. I'm in with him forever. Right? And that you can say that very same thing, regardless of what comes. And you know how the enemy works? He works in such a subtle way. His storms don't often look like a storm. Right? It comes so subtly with just thinking a little differently. A few degrees of separation over time, right? That's how the enemy comes, but he's definitely trying to destroy, divide. It's what he does. He kills, steals, destroys. It's his job description. It's on his business card. I kill, steal, and destroy. Right? That's what he does. So what is the foundation that was in my dream? I believe it's this. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 to 11 says, "For we are God's fellow workers." This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. "You are God's field. You're his building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Very simple. Who's the foundation? What's the foundation? It's the person of Jesus. And it's also what the enemy is going to try and disassemble from our hearts, from our lives, from our country. But Jesus Christ is the foundation of our lives. He's what we have to get built on, stand on. Isaiah 33:6 from the Old Testament prophesying says, "And he will be the stability of your times." Man, isn't that awesome? He will be the stability of your times. Jesus is the stability of our times. You may have heard this story, and I'm sure I've shared it before, but in 1736, there's a group of Moravians on a mission trip to America. They're coming to the colony of Georgia at the time because we weren't a union at that moment. So they're coming to the colony of Georgia. They're on a ship. There's another guy on that ship. His name is John Wesley. John Wesley's on the ship. This is before he and his brother Charles started Methodism and the whole movement, the Methodist movement. But he's on the ship, and then as there's this worship service that the Moravians are doing, this group of Moravians start doing on the ship. They start singing and reading the Psalms. And all of a sudden, this storm came, and like it was probably like a demonically inspired storm. It came and just started knocking that ship all over, ripped the main sail right in two. The water started coming over the side, started filling the boat with water. And this, from John Wesley's notes, I'll read him to, well, let me just read this to you. This is from John Wesley's journal. Okay, I'm just word for word. In 1736, John Wesley was on a ship. Okay. "At seven, I went to the Germans," the Moravians. "I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior. Of their humility, they had been given a continual proof by performing those servile offices for the other passengers, which none of the English would undertake, for which they desired and would receive no pay." They were serving the people on board while they were just passengers themselves. And they were saying, "Oh, it was good for our proud hearts that their loving Savior had done more for them than they were doing for the other passengers. Every day had given them occasion of showing a meekness which no injury could move. If they were pushed, struck, thrown down, they rose again and went away, but no complaint was found in their mouth. There was now an opportunity of trying whether they were delivered from the spirit of fear," as the storm hit, "as well as from that of pride, anger, and revenge. In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English, but the Germans calmly sung on." They just kept singing. "I asked one of them afterwards, 'Was you not afraid?' He answered, 'I thank God, no. I asked, but were not your women and children afraid?' He replied mildly, 'No, our women and children are not afraid to die. We die daily.'" How about that? We die daily. That's a scripture, right? Jesus said, "Anyone who wants to come and follow me must take up his cross and die daily." So they were dying to themselves every day. So every day was, hey, this is a new day I get to live. I don't know if it's going to last 24 hours. That's all right. I'm not afraid to go, because if I go, I'm with him. That was in their hearts. So in the storm, they could sing in the storm. I like Polycarp, and I like these Moravians. That affected John Wesley so much that he realized he didn't have a genuine faith in God to that degree. He gave his life to the Lord in a new way, and they started the Methodist movement, and he touched all of England, much of America. And it really was because of the situation and watching people in crisis, how they respond, how they live, how they sing. You and I both, we all have to stay aligned with Jesus. That I'm aligned with him. If you get sideways with your wife, your husband, your children, with those that you work with, those on the street, if you get sideways with people, that just means you're misaligned. Something's out of whack. I need to get realigned with my Savior, and my behavior will be like Moravian-like. I'll love other people. I'll love my life, forgiveness. I'll believe the best about other people. I will serve. I'll get pushed, beat down, smacked around, and I'm not going to rise up and look to kill somebody. I'm not going to vent my frustration. I've learned in my life that frustrations that come out of me speak of my misalignment in a moment. If anger comes out of me, guess what? It's usually not the other person, it's me. It's because I am not aligned properly with my Savior that day. And so I'm sideways, and I'm sideways with people. It's not how we're supposed to live. You and I need aligned with him every day. You remember in the Exodus, in the book of Exodus, we get the story of Israel wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. God gave them something supernatural to sustain them and keep them alive. What was it called? Manna. Gave it to them every day. And it came in a supernatural way. They wake up in the morning, they go outside, and there it is, lying on the ground. So they gathered it up. When it first happened, they gathered a ton of it. Remember that? Ate some for that day. The next day, it was rotten. Stunk. Probably had big green mold on it. You know, sometimes like you find in your refrigerator on some stuff you forgot was in there. Right? So they had to. The Lord said, well, I'm giving you this, but I don't want you to hoard it. I want you to eat it every day and collect it fresh every day. And then only on Fridays, I'll give you a double portion. It won't rot on Saturday because that's a Sabbath. I don't want you to collect stuff. I want you to rest and worship me. So that was the command. They would gather the manna, eat it. The supernatural food, they didn't do anything to deserve this. There it is. There's breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the morning. They'd gather it, eat it that day. The next morning, do the same thing every day, every single day. And then Jesus said this amazing thing in Luke chapter 6 when the Pharisees and the Sadducees said to him, you know, we had Moses and God gave us manna. They were kind of bragging in one sense and denying Jesus, kind of mocking him in one sense. And he said this, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He believes in me will never thirst. He said, I am the manna. This is his words, word for word. I am the manna that came down out of heaven to give life to the world. So interesting. Old covenant, symbolic, yet real for that generation, but symbolic of something future. Jesus is saying, I am manna today. Here's one thing that means to me. I need him every day. I can't store up for one day to last me a week. I can't store up for a month. It's not like going to Costco. Getting, piling it up there and sticking it in your closet, it's gonna last for a rainy day. Nope. Jesus, the manna that came down from heaven to give life to the world, is meant to be eaten daily. To be fellowshipped with, to have communion with every day. And where I am not eating of him, sideways coming. It's just how that works. I need him every single day. You know, you were made, you and I were both made with a great disability. And that's without him, we're worthless. I'm telling you. Is that not true? And without him, it is a bad day. It's a bad everything. I am in need of him. I'm in great need of him every single day. You are in great need of him. We were not made to go it on our own. Any day, not one day, yet he inside of me. It's not that he leaves, but I need to connect with him. I need to get realigned. I need that fresh infilling. I need that fresh recharge. I need that mind that's thinking the way he's thinking, not the way the world is thinking. All right, I want to encourage us, this is more of a reminder than anything, but I would encourage you to not store up today for all week, but to find that place and to make it a part of your spiritual discipline, if you haven't already, to get with him daily, to speak to him daily, to commune daily with him, to align daily, to allow him to do the pops and the movements on the inside, to get things that are out of whack back in line, to commune and to say, Jesus, I just want to say good morning. And here I am. I want to hear from you. I'm listening. And I thank you that you're the manna that came down from heaven. You are the bread of life. You're the bread I'm eating right now. I'm just going to start chewing on you, Lord. I chew on your words. I chew on what you said. I chew on your goodness. I chew on your kindness. The Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? So I'm tasting of you, Lord, today. My spirit man that was coming out of my skin a little bit ago, my spirit man is eating of you. I'm enjoying you. I'm enjoying you. God was meant to be enjoyed. Jesus was meant to be enjoyed. That passage I mentioned earlier from Daniel, let me just read that. Those who have insight will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. You're called to be that star. And Lord, we just, as a fellowship, as a people, as individuals, as your bride, that's what you call us, your bride, we're called saints. We're saints because of your righteousness. We're saints because of what you've done. You've cleansed us. Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you for every member of this family that's here, that's standing. Lord, I ask, Jesus, that you would cause a burning to grow on the inside of passion for you. Lord, I pray for a discipline too on the inside of us that we would eat of you every day. Every time we see bread, we'd think of the bread of life. Every time we see a roll or a biscuit, we would start thinking of the bread of life that came down from heaven to give life to the world, and you invited us to eat of you, to partake of you, to commune with you, to enjoy you, to be with you. Lord, I pray that every day that we would have this, dying to who I am and living to who you are. Lord, I ask now for the best, most enjoyable, off-the-hook relationship with you that we've ever had. May that be this week and next week and the year ahead, that we would like feel like we are coming out of our skin, we're rising out of our skin to be with you in heavenly places, in the mornings, during coffee, in the afternoons, when we sneak away. Lord, I pray while we're driving, there would just be this feeling and sense of your presence as we're communing with you, as we're getting right back down on the foundation of who you are. And I bless every person here. Speak life, and I thank you, Lord, for their lives, for all that's ahead, and that they are going to be those strong ones, the Polycarps, the Moravians, that everyone in here, we are like those. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you'd seal us. Seal us by your spirit, as you talked about. Put your seal on our foreheads, as you said in Revelation. Marked as yours. Always yours. Not succumbing to the world's mindset, progressive thinking, things that are the opposite of your kingdom. Seal us with your thoughts, with your heart. Lord, I bless these and ask for an amazing week and time with you. I also just want to say, if you've never met Jesus, if you've never given your life to him, I want to invite you to do that today. Just come on. I mean, there's no time to waste. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So whatever day you feel this draw from God to give your life to him, that is your day. That's the day of salvation. Everything changes from that moment on. Amen. Everything changes from that moment on. If you're desiring that, if you're wanting him, I'm going to tell you, just ask you to come down. Come down here. We'll talk with you. We'll minister to you. We'll introduce you to the King of heaven. Your life will never be the same. It will not be easy. But it'll be a whole lot better. Yes. You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to give your heart to him? You feel that on the inside, that warming? It's like, oh man, man, this is, I'm not figuring this out with my brain, but my spirit says yes.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.